Shabbos Daf Mem. We are on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. We're four lines down. Itmar, the Gemara is going to further investigate whether or not one is allowed to do any kind of bathing in water that was heated before Shabbos on Shabbos itself. We've already established on Lamed Tes Amud Beis that one is not allowed to bathe in hot water, water that was heated even before the Shabbos. No melacha was performed on the water. Nevertheless, it would be forbidden to bathe in water on Shabbos. Gzera, the concern is that once you bathe in water that was heated before Shabbos, so then it would lead to the heating of the water on Shabbos itself. So, certainly bathing one's entire body on Shabbos with water that was heated before Shabbos is usur. That is clear. However, we are now going to be investigating whether or not there's any kind of leniency in terms of bathing part and parcel of your body. Itmar, the Gemara quotes the following Chamash Yochum Amir of Shabbos, if I have water that was heated before Shabbos. Rav Amar, Lamacha Rochetz Bem Kol Gufo, Aver Aver. Rav is of the opinion that what you could do is you could bathe your entire body in segments, meaning that the prohibition, the rabbinic prohibition, is not to bathe your entire body at the same time. However, according to Rav's position, one would be allowed to bathe the parts of the body as long as it is done in segments. Shmuel is of the opinion that no, there is an allowance, but the allowance is only that you could bathe your hand, your feet, and your face, but you cannot bathe anything more than that. Mates for the Gemara is going to be challenging now based on the following brisa, Chamashuch Memer of Shabbos. Water that was heated up before Shabbos, the Machar. On Shabbos itself, Rochetz Ben Panavia de Viraglav. One is allowed to bathe his face, his hands, his feet, avalo kol gufo, but not your entire body. Tiyufta de Rav. Now, the simple reading of this brisa seemingly goes like Shmuel and is against the position of Rav. Amalecha Rav, Rav will tell you, lo kol gufo bevas achas. It does not mean that the only limitation of the brisa is that you cannot bathe your body at the same time. Ella aver aver. It just simply means that there is an allowance, however, to wash your body in increments, as long as you're doing it one limb at a time. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not the simple reading of the Braisa. The Braisa does actually articulate your face, your hands, and your feet. So the Gemara says, Ka'im panavyada viraglav. It just simply means that these are examples that are given, meaning as long as you're doing it in segments, you can then bathe your entire body, as long as you're not doing it all at the same time. And the examples that are given in the Braisa are just simply examples, but they are not specific to and limited only to those particular areas of your body. Tashma, the Gemara, once again, is going to try to prove in the following Braisa, Lo hitiro lechutz b'chamim she'uchum emir of Shabbos, ela panav yada v'raglav. Now this Braisa pretty much articulates the same point we made in the previous brisa. It happens to be that this brisa seems to be a little bit more specific and a little more limiting. This brisa says that the only thing that is permitted to wash on Shabbos with water that was heated before Shabbos is only your face, your hands, and your feet, and it's seemingly in this brisa nothing more than that. And once again, this would seem to be a good support for Shmuel and not a good support for Rav. Hachanami, again, the Gemara over here defends, Ke'in Panavya Devaraglav. We could read the Braisa, that what it means is that these are just simply examples that are given, but the truth of the matter is that you could bathe your entire body as long as you do it one limb at a time. Gemara continues, Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. We have a brisa that really supports the position of Shmuel, Chamash Uchma Merav Shabbos. If I have water that was heated before Shabbos, the Machar, on the following day, meaning on Shabbos, Rochit Baim Panavia de Varaglav, Avalol Kul Gufo Aver Aver. The brisa says Beferish that you cannot wash your entire body even at one limb at a time. And it goes without saying that the same thing is true regarding water that was heated on Yantav itself. One is not allowed to bathe their entire body. Point that we could have spent more time discussing yesterday on Daf Lamed Tes, but as long as we're here now, let's discuss the following point, and that is that not only is there a prohibition of bathing one's body with water that was heated before Shabbos on Shabbos, but in addition to that, also with water that was heated on Yantav itself, one cannot bathe their entire body. That does require a bit of an explanation, because as we know, on Yantav there is a heter of Ochel Nefesh. One is allowed to heat up water on Yantav because one is allowed to cook on Yantav, and we do subscribe to the principle of Beis Hillel, which is mitoch shehutra l'tzarech, hutra nami shelo l'tzarech. Once there is a permission to cook the water for cooking purposes, one can also cook the water on Yontif, even for non-cooking purposes, as long as there's a benefit. And so why isn't that there would not be any allowance to bathe in one's entire body on Yontif in hot water when the water was heated up on Yontif itself? We do have the heter of Ochel Nefesh, and we do subscribe to the principle of Mitoch. Therefore, it should lead us to the conclusion that one would, in fact, be allowed to bathe in such water. And this gets into an interesting discussion, which basically the Gemara assumes, and that is the following. Before we get to the assumption, let's go over one other important piece of information. The Gemara in Beitzah says that even though we do have a principle of mitoch, but the principle of mitoch is that one can extrapolate from a malacha and use that malacha for other benefits, even if though it's not consumption, as long as it is shav l'chol nefesh, as long as everybody can benefit from it. So, for example, the Gemara in Beitzah gives the following as an example. Burning incense on Yontov is not going to be permitted, even though the burning of the incense, one is allowed to burn for the purposes of cooking, but the burning of the incense is not something that is done by everybody. The masses do not do it. It is only specific to a select few people who burn incense, and as a result of that, this is not something which is shavu l'chol nefesh, and therefore, to burn mugmar, to burn the incense on Yontif, would not be permitted because it is not shavu l'chol nefesh. Now, the Gemara assumes a number of places, here's one of them clearly, that bathing your entire body in hot water is not shavu l'chol nefesh, it's not something that everybody can benefit from. That obviously is difficult to understand. Everybody enjoys bathing their body. Everybody enjoys having a clean body. So what does it mean it's not shavu l'chol nefesh? So presumably what we mean by that is that bathing on a daily basis is not something which was done back then with any kind of regularity. Nobody would take a bath every single day. And with the assumption, of course, that a person took a bath on Erev Yontif, so therefore the taking of the bath on the next day, on the subsequent day, is not something which is shavu l'chol nefesh. And therefore the Chachamim did not give a heter in order of bathing on Yontif. You can make the argument, we can make the argument that nowadays it has been the practice that people bathe on a daily basis. Although to be a little bit more technical, people don't bathe on a daily basis. People shower on a daily basis. But still, basically we can construct the argument that people shower on a daily basis. And certainly people who live in hotter climates who certainly shower on a daily basis. So then you could make the argument that on Yontif itself, one would be allowed to shower since this is something which is shavu l'chol nefesh. These are all wonderful arguments, but in terms of conclusion, so obviously what you need to do is you need to consult with local rabbinic authorities in terms of taking these arguments and putting it into practical halacha. I'm just simply giving the tools in which we can understand what exactly the issues are at hand. In the meantime, however, we're going back to the Gemara 1 Mem Amud Aleph, and we are going to continue in our discussion. So again, we are discussing in the Gemara whether or not there is an allowance to bathe your body in water that was heated before Shabbos, doing so one limb at a time. According to the first version of the Gemara that we just concluded, Rav is of the opinion that you could do so. As long as you're doing so one limb at a time, you cannot do your entire body altogether, but one limb at a time would be permitted. And Shmuel says no, that the heter is only to wash with water that was heated before Shabbos, only your face, hands, and feet. But that is it, nothing more than that. And the Gemara quoted a Braisa, which just ended the first round of this discussion, clearly supporting the position of Shmuel. The Gemara continues, Rabba Masin Lahashmaita de Rav Behai Lishna. Rabba has a slightly different version of how Rav said it, and he said it in the following language. Chamin Shehuch Mamer of Shabbos, if I have water that was heated before Shabbos, Lamachar on Shabbos itself, Amar Rav Rochetz Bem Kol Gufo, Umishari Aver Echad. So in this version, we are getting even a more lenient version of Rav, and that is basically you can bathe your entire body, leaving out one limb. It doesn't say how much of that one limb you have to leave out, presumably the entire limb, but you could basically wash your entire body, sans, except that one limb that you cannot bathe in that one sitting. Now the Gemara points out, now we're going to go over the same brises. The Gemara doesn't even bother, because the Gemara assumes that at this point in time we know the brises. But we're basically going to go over these brises, and these brises are certainly not going to be supportive of this reading. Because even in the brises, so the brises said, Panav Yadav Raglav, go back over the last two brises that we just read together, and what we said in defense of Rav previously was, Ke'in Panav Yadav Raglav. But over here, that reading is not going to help us, because in this version of Rav allows the entire body to be submerged in the hot water, and certainly the reading of Ke'in Panav Yadav Raglav is not going to support that, it's not going to defend that, because over here you have basically your entire body in the body of water, and so there's no way to read the brises in support of Rav. Certainly this version of Rav is going to be totally upended based on the brises. Yes, it's true that in general we do have the principle of Rav Tanu Palag. Rav does have the power and the authority to argue with Brises, but you can see clearly over here that the Gemara does not invoke that idea because the Gemara basically takes it out as only in case of emergency. I guess you can call this an emergency, but the Gemara does not invoke that principle over here under these circumstances. The Gemara just leave Rav's position upended. Amalei Rav Yosef la'Abaye, the Gemara continues now. Rav Yosef says the following to Abaye, Rabba mi ka'avi kishmaite derav. So he says, I'm wondering now, your Rebbe Rabba, did he follow like the position of Rav? Amalei lo yadana, maiti baile, pshita de lo avid. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What are you even asking? Of course he didn't hold of Rav, the ha'isusev. Because let's remind each other what just happened in the Gemara. The Gemara presented the position of Rav, but then the Gemara upended the position based on the braces. So the Gemara says, lo shmiale. Well, and I skipped the word Dilma, but whether it's there, whether it's not there, there is a consideration, a concern at least maybe that he didn't know of these braces, and therefore he didn't know that Rav's position was totally upended. So the Gemara says, well, if he heard Rav's position and he didn't have any knowledge of Rav's position being upended by the braces, so then for sure he's going to follow like the positions of Rav, and why does he assume that? Because we know, we've said this already a number of times, we actually already said this earlier in the Masechta as well, that when it comes to the position of Rabba, as reported by Abaye, Rabba always practiced the halacha following like the position of Rav, bar mi hanitlas, da avi kishmo. Only in three areas in halacha did Rabba follow the position of Shmuel, and they are, and we're going to go over this again, we went over this earlier in the Masechta, Matilim mi begel abegel, you can take tzitzis and move them from one four-corner garment to another four-corner garment, Malikim ner le'ner, and you can light from one ner Chanukah to another ner Chanukah. We discussed both of these halachas extensively earlier in the Masechta, v'halacha k'Reb Shimon v'Greira, and the halacha falls like Reb Shimon when it comes to the topic of Greira, whether or not one is allowed to drag a bench on Shabbos with no intention of making a hole in the ground, and no inevitability that you're going to drag and make a hole in the ground. So there's only a possibility. You have no intention of doing so. This is what is classically referred to as the Davar Sheino Miskaven. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that that would be mutter. Shmuel subscribes to the position of Rabbi Shimon. In this area, this is the third area in halacha where Rabba follows like Shmuel and not like the position of Rav. So the Gemara is just wondering now, what are we even discussing? If Rabba did not know that Rav's position was upended, and at this point in time, we're thinking that Rava just simply assumes that Rav's position is a position that is not refuted by a brisa. So then, of course, he's going to go like Rav, because with only three exceptions, he goes like Rav all the time. And so over here, why wouldn't he go like Rav? So the Gemara suggests over here, kechomer de Rav, avid mikule de Rav, lo avid. Well, maybe when Rav follows the position of Rav, maybe that's only when the stringencies of Rav, but not necessarily when it comes to the leniencies. And over here, obviously, with the bathing of Shabbos, Rav is taking a more lenient position. Whether we go with version number one or version number two of Rav, Rav is taking a more lenient position, and therefore, maybe we could have considered the idea that Rav is not subscribing to the position of Rav on something where Rav himself is going to be lenient. We are a little more than halfway down on Mem Amud Aleph. We are starting a brisa. The brisa now is going to be discussing more about the topic of bathing on Shabbos. Again, what is clear is that one is not allowed to bathe in water that was heated, even if the water was heated before Shabbos, on Shabbos itself. That is Asar Midrabanan. What we're going to be discussing now are other ways of bathing in which may or may not be permitted on Shabbos. So we begin with this brisa. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the brisa, Merecha Shepakugu Nekav of Merev Shabbos. If, let's say, you have a bathhouse where the vents were closed off on Erev Shabbos. Now, in terms of the vents over here, you can take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes a couple of pshatim, but the pshat that Rashi prefers over here is basically you had an heating element for the bathhouse. The heating element was somewhere submerged underneath. Let's call it the basement. And so what happens now is that this heating element, so the vents are open, and that now causes the heat to go up and to go into the water and heat the water. And so we're discussing now where you have this bathhouse where the heating elements were clogged or stopped, meaning basically you close the heating elements so that we know for sure that the water was not heated on Shabbos itself. So you cannot use this bathhouse on Shabbos because, as we already got done explaining, that is also midrabanan. However, the Braisa discusses the following: Merecha shepakukun akav of Merev Shabbos, as long as events were closed on Erev Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos. So once it comes to Motzei Shabbos, rochets bo miyad. So now what you can do is you can take a bath immediately after Shabbos. Now, if there was any violation of Shabbos itself, so we have the idea of bichde shiyasa. That means to say that you can't get any benefit from any malacha that occurred on Shabbos itself, and you have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos that it takes in order to perform that particular malacha. But because over here no malacha was performed on Shabbos, the water was heated up before Shabbos, events were closed over the course of Shabbos, so then Motei Shabbos, you could use the bathhouse immediately. Continuing in the Braisa, Pakakunakava Meir of Yomtov, if let's say the vents were closed on Erev Yomtov, Lamachar, so on the next day, Nichnas, you can go into the bathhouse, Umezia. And what you could do is you could schwitz. Now, basically, we're talking about a sauna, and this is another form of bathing. This is what we'll call a steam bath. Basically, what you're doing is that you're getting there and you're building up a wonderful sweat, you're schwitzing, the Yotze, and then what you could do now that you're all schwitzed up, is that you could leave Umishtativ, Bebes Achitzon, and you can go out and you can rinse yourself off. And presumably what we mean by rinsing yourself off is rinsing yourself off with cold water. Rinsing yourself off with hot water is something which we already prohibited in yesterday's daf. We're going to be talking more about that in just a moment. But presumably that's what you could do. And you could do so in the Beis HaChitzon, in the outer chamber. You do so in the outer chamber, explains Rashi, because in the inner chamber, if you were to rinse off in the inner chamber, when you come out, people may just simply assume that what you did is you took a bath on Shabbos, in this case on Yontif. So you don't want to give anyone that impression. So therefore, the only thing you're going to be doing inside is you're just going to be schwitzing. But in terms of rinsing yourself off, that you'll do in the outer chamber, and no one will therefore suspect that you took a bath in the inner chamber. I'm Rav Yehuda Maisa B'mercho Shal B'nei Brak. Rav Yehuda tells the following story, that there was a bathhouse in B'nei Brak, Shepaku in a Kav Merav Yontov, that what they did is that they closed events before Yontov, Lamachar, and the next day, Nechnas Rav Elazar Ben Azarya, V'Rebbe Akiva, and in goes in the great Tanaim of Rav Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, v'hiziubo, and they schwitzed, v'yotze, and they exited, v'nishtatfu be'beis achitzon, and they rinsed themselves off in cold water in the outer chamber of this bathhouse. Ela shechamim shalom mechuba menasarim. Now, the next line of this braisa is very difficult. What it reads literally is that the chamim, the hot waters were mechuba menasarim, they were covered with boards. Now, exactly what that means, it's not clear. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Mechuba Menasarim, Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, V'lo hayu tzrichim lachus shema nischamu b'shabbos michomo shomerchatz. So Rashi seems to indicate over here is that, well, there was no concern of the water being heated up on Shabbos because it was sealed off Now, it happens to be that we know we're describing Yontov, we're not describing Shabbos over here, but the basic idea, says Rashi, is that we know that it wasn't heated up on Yontov, and therefore what? It's not clear exactly what Rashi means. If you take a look at the Bam Tosos over here, Tosos writes, Alech Shechamim Shalom Mechupim Benasarim Perish Bekuncha Shalom Hayu Tzrichim Lachus Shehuchmu B'Shabbos Mishum HaMerchatz Mishum Shesov Shenishtatfu B'Chamim Shehuchmu Me'er Shabbos. So the way Rashi presents it over here is that we have nothing to be concerned about regarding the fact that it was heated up on Shabbos itself, because we have the boards that are over it, and means that it was not heated up on Shabbos. Now, all this becomes very difficult, as Tosos himself is about to point out, because what are they doing with this water that was not heated up on Shabbos, or in this case, on Yontov? So basically, they rinsed themselves off with that water. Now, that becomes very problematic, because basically what we're talking about is a shower in hot water. Now, a shower in hot water is something where we discussed in the previous daf on Lama Tess, we discussed it's a machlokus, whether you're allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do it. And there were three opinions on this issue. And the position that we're seemingly setting right now is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. If you go back to yesterday's daf, you're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that one is not allowed to take a shower, a hot shower, neither on Shabbos nor on Yontov itself. So Ula El, and this is exactly the point that Tosos makes, as I'm reading now Tosos, the second line down, the end of that line. Ula El, Asa, Rabbi Yehuda, Gufe. And Rabbi Yehuda himself prohibited taking a hot shower. So if what the Gemara means over here is that after they schwitzed, they went ahead and they used the water that was in the bath, and we know that the water was not heated up on Shabbos, it was heated up before Shabbos, and they only showered with that water, but so what? You're not allowed to shower in this hot water. So it's very difficult to understand exactly what is meant by by Rashi over here, if this is in fact the reading of Rashi. V'shema yechalek ben Shabbos and Yom Tov, and maybe Tosfos says that you can make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, meaning that Rav Yehuda prohibited the use of a hot shower on Shabbos. Again, I say hot shower, I mean water that was heated before Shabbos. But maybe Rav Yehuda prohibits the hot shower on Shabbos. But maybe what he does is he permits it on Yom Tov. You can make that distinction. That's a difficult distinction, but Tosfos says maybe you can make such a distinction. Umiyah b'Tosefta, but Tosfos anyway rejects these ideas, Garcinam, because he quotes the Tosefta itself. And in the Tosefta, the Gersa is, v'nishtatfa b'tsonin, ela shechamim shalom mechupim v'lo yizbaru ha'olam sherechaz bechamim. Tosfos says that what they did is that they rinsed themselves in cold water. And the only point that the Gemara was making, the Braisa was making, regarding the boars over the over the bathtub is that it just simply is indicative of the fact that they did not use hot water for rinsing, for showering. They only used cold water. So this simple read, simple way to read the Braisa, as Tosfos reads it, is it just simply means that we know for sure that after they schwitzed, they went ahead and they rinsed themselves off in cold water and not hot water. And although Rashi does seem to indicate that they rinsed themselves off in hot water, but Tosfos himself has difficulty with that pshat, as we just went through. Anyway, back to the Braisa. The Braisa continues. Umisherabu, ovre avera. And when the sinners started populating and started multiplying a number, hitchil lasaram bat yoshel krachim. And there was a prohibition, a general prohibition, that one is not allowed to use any kinds of bathhouse whatsoever. Presumably, we mean even for steam baths, as we just described. However, what you can do is you can walk through the bathhouses, but you cannot intentionally go in there for the purposes of schwitzing. We're going to explain that a little bit better, and why specifically we're talking about Krachim, why are we talking about the big cities as opposed to the small towns. That also is going to be explained better in just a moment. Anyway, a couple of points over here to describe my ovre avera. The Gemara over here is describing now the ovre avera because of the sinners. So as a result of that, so the Chachamim felt the need to be more stringent on this matter. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Melevi Mishum Bar Kapara. So the Gemara quotes a number of the earlier Amoraim in the name of Bar Kapara. B'tchila hayurotzim b'chamashuch memerev Shabbos. So originally there was an allowance to go ahead and to bathe in water that was heated before Shabbos on Shabbos. Hitchilu habalanim lahachim b'Shabbos. Now here comes the bath attendants. And the bath attendants would do the following, is that they would heat up the water on Shabbos itself. V'omri merev Shabbos huchmu. So, and they said that the water was heated up before Shabbos. So, in other words, because of these bath attendants, which obviously they were motivated by making money, and as a result of that, they are going to be incentivized to heat up the water even on Shabbos itself, and just simply shirking any kind of responsibility, they just simply tell a story about how the fact is that the water was actually heated up before Shabbos. That was only a lie. It was only a fabrication. But the Chachamim caught people in this kind of behavior. So Asra Chachamim v'tira sezeah. So what they did is that they prohibited bathing in hot water on Shabbos. But what they did, however, allow is Zezeah, the Shvitz, the sauna, the steam bath in which we described. The Adayin Hayurochs and Bechamim, the Omru Mizim Anachno. So, but then what they found is the following. People would go into the bathhouse, come out, now in the steam bath, so they would the Shvitz, and then they would rinse themselves off with cold water. But it's not as exciting as taking a hot bath. So what people would do is they would take a hot bath, they would come out, and then when asked the question, well, what did you do? They said, oh, we took a steam bath. So so what they did is that they prohibited even taking the steam bath. So in other words, in this next phase of the gzera, so they even included in the gzera even a steam bath. The steam bath would not be acceptable as well. But what they however, they left open as a heter is using chametveria, using the wellsprings of teveria. Now what they would do is that they would use hot water, but hot water that was heated with fire, and they would just simply say again. To try to justify that which they did, they said, "Oh, we used chametveria." So asulahem chametveria v'hitiru lahem esatzonin. So what they did is they prohibited chametveria, but they allowed the usage of cold water, meaning that the only thing now you could do is you can bathe in cold water, you could shower in cold water, but you can't even use chametveria. Roshin adavar omed lahem. However, they found that in this last phase of the gezerah where they prohibited chametveria, so this was too onerous for the people. The people could not handle this kind of gzera. Shein adavar omid. Rashi writes over here, second to last Rashi. Shalal yitzibar yecholum lekabel mitoch she'asur lehem es hakol. Meaning now that everything becomes prohibited, and there was no way for anyone to enjoy any kind of bathing on Shabbos, it was just too much. And so therefore the people push back on this last one, and we have a general rule that if it's a gzera that the tzibar is inu yechola amud bo, that the tzibar cannot withstand it, so this gzera is not to be made by the chachamim, it would not be productive, it would be counterproductive. So itir lehem chametveria, so on this they repealed this last gzera, and they allowed for the bathing in chametveria, vizeh bimkoma omedes, however, the steam bath was still going to be prohibited. And here we get now, on the bottom of this amud, the entire history and the evolution of exactly how the gzeras work regarding taking a bath, a steam bath, on Shabbos and presumably on Yom Tov as well, would not seem to make a difference between the two vis-a-vis these particular halachas. Again, showering on Yom Tov may be different, as we discussed already earlier, but again, I'm just voicing this as an idea. I am not making any kind of conclusions over here. Amar Rava, as we are now on the last line of Mem Amar Aleph, Haiman David the Avar Ad Rabbanan, Shar Lemikre Le Avanya. Anyone who violates an Issa de Rabbanan, so one is allowed to call him an Arvayan, a sinner. The purpose of doing so is to try to motivate him. Obviously, if it doesn't motivate him and it doesn't push him in the right direction, so then we could prudently suggest that that's not going to be a good idea. But in general, if this is the kind of thing that will push him in the right direction, so you can call him an Arvayan, even though he's not violating the Torah, he's only violating the de Rabbanan, but still one has the right to do so. How do I know that? Come on, Kaitana. And the Gemara says, because go back over the Braisa that we just learned together. We just learned a brisa together that there was a proliferation of the avaryanim. And meanwhile, when describing the avaryanim over here, what they're doing is they're violating Nisa Darabana, not in Nisa Daraisa, and still they're called an avaryan. And so we see over here that it is legitimate to refer to somebody who violated Nisa Darabana as an avaryan. We are now on the very top of Memon Membez Ambatios, Shalkrachim Etab Emen Choshesh. If you have the ambachiot of the big city, so you can walk through them, meaning you can't use them, meaning in the last phase of the gzera, we learned that you're not allowed to use them, not for bathing, not even for a steam bath, but you can walk through them. Now, the simple reading, and the Gemara immediately jumps on this, is that you can use only that of the, you can walk through the krachim, but you can't walk through the bathhouses of the kfarim, and the Gemara wants to know, my time, why is that? So the Gemara says, Kevin de Zutra, Nifish Hivlaihu. So the Gemara says, because that of the small towns are really small bathhouses, and so therefore the amount of steam that is in the small area is intense, it's concentrated, and when you walk in there, by definition, what you're going to do is you're going to be taking a shvitz. And that's exactly what the Chachamim didn't want us to be doing. You can navigate through the large bathhouses of the big cities and not, by definition, start to build up a shvitz. However, if you're going through the small bathhouses, so that by definition is going to build up a shvitz. And so therefore, even though that wasn't your intention, but that is going to be happening in the most definitive of terms. We are continuing now in the Gemara on Mem Amud Bey, Tanu Rabbanan. Mischamim Adam Keneged Amadur V'yotze Mishata V'tzonen. A person could do the following. He could warm up his body right up against the fire, and then afterwards rinse himself off. This is not the shvitz that we just described. The shvitz that we just described is that basically you are in a sauna, and you are building up a good sweat. Over here, what you're just simply doing is you're just simply heating up your body by a fire, and then what you're doing is rinsing yourself off in cold water. That is fine. But what you cannot do is you can't do the reverse. You cannot rinse yourself off in cold water and then go to a fire. Because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be warming the water that's on your body. Now, important point over here. You're warming the water on your body, and therefore what? Meaning, are you cooking the water in your body? That can't possibly be. We're going to learn in just a moment that in order to be cooking a water, the water has to go above the point of Yatza Letizbo. The point of Yatza Letizbo is that when your body touches it, so involuntarily you're going to react and you're going to jump back and you're not going to want to touch this water anymore. If the water is on your body, the water is certainly not going to get to the point of over Yatza Letizbo. So obviously we need a clarification. What exactly is going to be the problem is if first you rinse yourself off in water and then you go by the fire and you warm yourself up, you're not cooking the water on your body. So what exactly is the issue? Take a look at the top Tosfos. And I'm dropping three lines down in the Tosfos. V'hacha de asurin mefarish riva. So he quotes the Balei Tosfos. The dome karoches b'mayim chamim v'yavil achim chamim l'rchotz gufo. So Tosfos brings down over here that because the liquid is on your body and because you're going right up against the fire in order to heat up that liquid that's on your body, it's similar now to taking a bath. And basically, this too is going to fall under the general gzera of not bathing on Yontav. And so therefore, once there's a gzera of not bathing on Yontav, and once this looks very similar to bathing on Yontav, this also will be incorporated within the gzera of not bathing on Yontav. Continuing in the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in another brisa, Mecham Adam Alontis. One is allowed to heat up a towel, Menicha Agabe Mayim, B'Shabbos, and put it right up against your stomach on Shabbos. Basically, we're talking about a compress on Shabbos. But not to use a kettle and put it right up against your stomach. Why are you not allowed to put up a kettle next to your stomach? At the next Tosos, he writes, Vavash lo yavi kumkumum, perish kozman, sha'aluntis sham, Shema yiplu hamayim al ha'aluntis va'asi lidei tzchita. So the Gemara says that what's going to happen is that if you put the kettle while the compress is there, while the towel is there, so you may violate the schita, that the prohibition of wringing out the towel. That's one possibility. Inami Tosos brings down another possibility. Lo yave mishum refuah. No, in other words, what happens is that if you're just going to be bringing the kettle by itself, using the kettle, not the towel as a compress, but using the actual kettle itself, that's something which clearly is being used for therapeutic purposes. One is not allowed to use something which is basically a therapy on Shabbos. To make points that are obvious, obviously, if there is a real sakanas, then obviously you can take medicine. And if it is a chol she'ein bo sakana, but the illness is very serious, so one also is allowed to take medicine. But we're talking about discomfort. For the purposes of discomfort, one is to avoid taking any kind of medicine. And when we say medicine, we're talking about anything that is clearly being used as a therapy. Putting the kettle on your stomach is clearly being used as a therapy, and therefore one is not allowed to do it. That's another possibility, says Tosos, in terms of why it would be prohibited. Continuing in the Gemara, v'davazer afilu b'chol asur b'mnei asakana. And even during the week, one is not allowed to do that because it would be dangerous. The kettle might be scalding hot and it's going to burn you, and so therefore this is not the behavior you should be doing even during the week as well. Tanu Rabbanan, maybe Adam kito mayim m'mnicho k'neged madura. One is allowed to take a pot of water, put it right up against the fire, lo bishol she yechamu, no, not so that the water will actually come to a boil. That would be called bishol on Shabbos. That would be prohibited. That would be a malacha daraisa. El bishol she tafig sinaso, but only so that some of the chill would be removed from it. And so one is allowed to put it up against the fire in order so that the chill would be removed. Rav Yehuda Amar, Mivia Isha Pach Shal Shemen. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a woman could take a jug of oil, Menicha Keneged Madura, and again put it right by the fire, Lo Bishol She Yivashel, not that it cooks, Ela Bishol She Yafshir, and again for the purposes of that it just simply lose its chill. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar Isha Sacha Yada. Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that a woman can take her hand, rub it in oil, umiskama makeneged amadura, and put it right up against the fire, v'secha livna katan, and then take that warm oil that's in her hands and then rub it into her baby. The ain't chosheshes, and she does not need to be concerned, meaning that there is not going to be any problem there whatsoever. There is an interesting halachic discussion to be had over here, because we just learned together that according to the Tanakhama, a person can take water and put it right up to the fire, not so that it cooks, but just simply so that the chill be removed. Are we talking about putting it in a place that's so proximate to the fire that for sure it would cook if left there? You're just simply going to take it away before it cooks? Is that what we're talking about? Or are we talking about putting it somewhere near the fire so that the chill will be removed, but even if I were to leave it there, it wouldn't get to the point of Yatza Letters Bow? This is something which is discussed in the Halacha and amongst the Rishonim. It's not clear from the Gemara itself, but it's certainly a very, very worthwhile discussion. I'm just raising awareness. Continuing in the Gemara, Yibailuhu, Shemen Mahu Latanakama. Now, the Tanakama was talking about water. What does he feel regarding oil? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavar Lehetera. So Rabbi Rav Yosef is of the opinion that it would be mutter to put the oil near the fire, even if it gets to the point of Yatza Letters Bow, even on Shabbos. That is very difficult to understand. We're going to try to explain that in just a moment. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Li Yisura. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, it's according to the Tanakama, it would be prohibited even to put it near the fire just to get to the point of Hefsher. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavar Le'Teira. Now, according to both Rabbi and Rav Yosef, it would be mutter, and as an explanation, Shem and Afa Pi Sheayat Zalesbo, when it comes to oil, even when it gets to the point of Yad Zalesbo, mutter, that would be permissible on Shabbos. Again, I know this is difficult to understand, but Kasavar, he's of the opinion, Tanakama Shemin Embo Mishum Bishol, that oil is not subject to Bishol. Now, it's not subject to Bishol, what does that mean? So presumably what it means is that there is no qualitative change in the oil itself between the oil being room temperature versus the oil being cooked. The Isser of Bishol on Shabbos means that I'm taking a food and I'm changing its nature by cooking it. An egg, a raw egg, is in the state of being in a liquid, and when I cook it, I now turn it into something which is harder, more edible, something which tastes good. In other words, I'm changing it qualitatively, both in terms of moving it from the state of being a liquid to a solid, and also making it something which is more edible, just better eating. Over here, in defense of this position of the Gemara right now, if I take oil and even if I bring it over the point of Yad Zalatas Bo, that is not enough to make any kind of significant qualitative change in the oil. It's still basically the same oil from a functional standpoint, and therefore, specific to oil, one does not violate the Malacha of Bishol. That is one way to explain the position of the Tanakama. The Asa Rabbi Yehuda Lameimar. Now, if we're just going to go through the Braisa, we're just going to go through the progression of the Braisa. Once we start with the Tanakama over there, that cooking oil on Shabbos would be fine. So now we're just going to go through the next two opinions of the Braisa. Also, Rabbi Yehuda Lameimar Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishol VeHefsher Lo Zuhi Bishulo. According to Rabbi Yehuda, oil is in fact subject to Bishul, but you have to bring it to the point of Yad Zalatas Bo. It has to be to the point of, let's call it boiling. It's not really the boiling point. We're going to explain the shear of Yad Zalatas Bo in better in just a moment. But in other words, it has to be the point of cooking. V'asa Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Lameimar Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul VeHefsher Zuhu Bishulo. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Shemen is in fact subject to Bishul, and on top of that, he also happens to be of the opinion that all I need to do is just bring it to the point of warm, that's below Yad Zalatas Bo, and still that's going to be considered Bishul. So in this first version of understanding the Braisa, according to the opinions of Rav and Rav Yosef, so we have it basically that there are three positions in the Braisa. Tanakama says oil is not subject to Bishul at all. The position of Rabbi Yehuda is that oil is subject to Bishul, you have to get it to the point of Yad Zalatas Bo. And finally, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is that oil is subject to Bishul, and all you need to do is warm it up, and that is Bishul when it comes to oil. So there is a wide range of position regarding Bishul and oil. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Le'Isura. And now, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he takes a totally different take in terms of the Tanakama and oil. He says that according to the Tanakama, any warming of the oil would be considered Bishul. And we're continuing in the Gemara. Shemen Alpha Pishena Yatzalaz Bal Asr. That even if I took oil and brought it from room temperature to just simply warm, that would be considered Bishul. Kasav Shemen Yeshbo Mishum Bishul. According to the Tanakama, Shemen is subject to Bishul. Vehevshera Zuhu Bishul. And just simply bring it to the point where it's warm, that is considered Bishul. But also, Rav Yehuda Meimar Hefsher Lo Zu Bishulo. And according to Rav Yehuda, you have to get it to the point of Yad Zalatas Bo. Then and only then is it cooking. But also, Rav Shimon Gamliel Meimar Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul VeHefsher Zu Bishulo. And according to the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, once you get it to the point of Yad Zalatas Bo, once you get it to the point of Hefsher, of just simply getting it warm, that is going to be considered Bishul. Good. This is their understanding of the Braisa. If you've been following well, you realize that the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel are basically espousing the same point, and the Gemara now makes exactly that point. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Haino Tanakama, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakama are saying one and the same thing. Ikeb now, the Gemara says there is a difference between them. Kila Achayad, and that is if it's done in an unusual manner, meaning if you look carefully at the way Rav Shimon Gamliel is describing it, is that if you're looking at the way the Tanakama is describing it, the Tanakama allows a woman to go ahead and to take her hands and rub it in the oil, and then put her hands by a fire, and then go ahead and anoint her oil, and she does not have to worry. I was right the first time. It is the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And this is Kala Achriya. This is done in an unusual manner, and if done in an unusual manner, so then it would be okay. It's only when brought from room temperature to warm in the regular manner, then and only then it would be prohibited. The Amoraim now weigh in on this issue. Is there cooking by oil? So both the position of Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda is quoting Shmuel and says that both when it comes to oil and when it comes to water, once you get to the point of Yatzel Ezbo, that is Bishul, but anything below Yatzel Ezbo is not going to be Bushel, and that would be Mutter. You could bring the temperature of the water and the oil anywhere up to, but just simply not till the point of Yatzel Ezbo. Ve'echidam Yatzel Ezbo. Now, the Gemara over here does not measure in terms of degrees the way you and I measure temperature, but the Gemara over here is going to be measuring based on reaction, on body reaction. So, Amarachva kol shekreso shotino nichves. It is at the point where if I were to take this water and pour it on the delicate skin of a baby, the baby's skin would start scalding. Now, obviously, don't try this at home. It's just simply the Gemara is giving us a operational definition of what would be considered the kind of heat that would be considered Yatzel Ezbo, so that if you brought either water or oil or any liquids, presumably up to this point in time, so that would in fact be considered the violation of Bishul on Shabbos. There was an occasion once where I went with Rebbe into the bathhouse. Now what I was considering on doing was I wanted to take a jug of oil and put it within the hot springs of Tveria. Amrli tobe klishen v'tein. And so what Rebbe told me is that what I should do is take the water from the Chametz Tveria, from the wellsprings of Tveria, from the hot springs of Tveria, and take the water and put it into a klisheni, put it into a second vessel, vitain, and then put the oil in the klisheni, so that the oil, by the way, obviously the oil is in a jug, take the oil in, put it in a klisheni, so even though now the oil is going to get warm, but that's not going to be bishul, that's not going to be cooking, because once I transfer the water from the actual hot springs itself at Tveria and move it into a klisheni, there's no longer bishul within a klisheni. This is the Gemara that teaches us the principle of ein bishul b'klisheni, that there's no cooking in a klisheni. And once we do that, now you could take the oil and put it within the klisheni, and that even though it'll warm the oil, but that wouldn't be considered cooking the oil. Shema min atlas. So there are three concluding points that one could learn from this story. Number one, shema min hashemen yesh bo mishum bishul, that oil is subject to bishul, even though we just had an extensive discussion, debate regarding this issue of whether oil is in fact subject to Bishul. The conclusion clearly over here is that it is subject to Bishul, and that's why we are not putting it directly in the Chametz Tveria, but rather we're putting it into a klisheni in order to avoid the problems of Bishul. Number two, Shema Minah klisheni einu mevashel. We also see from here, by virtue of the fact that the water from the Chametz Tveria was then transferred over into a klisheni, so therefore no longer subject to Bishul. Ushma mina hesher zu bishulo. And we also see over here that even though all we're going to end up doing is bringing the oil up to the point of it becoming warm, that in of itself would be considered Bishul as it relates to the oil. Now, hecher avehachi. Now, before we get to the next Gemara over here, let's deal with a fundamental issue, and that is that the Gemara has now successfully concluded that there is no cooking that occurs within a klisheni. The simple question is, why should that be? Meaning that if the water that was transferred over to Kli Sheni is still hot, so hot that it's as hot as it was in the Kli Rishon, so why should it be that just because I transfer it to Kli Sheni, there's no cooking, there's no halachic cooking that occurs within a Kli Sheni? Tosus over here fundamentally deals with this problem. This Tosus is quoted all the time when describing the idea behind Kli Sheni, and the Tosus, Divrei Maskil, V'shma Minah Kli Sheni, and Mevashel Teima. Tosus over here articulates the question that we just went through. Mashna Kli Sheni, Mi Kli Rishon, Di Yatzel Ezbo, Afil Kli Sheni Nami. If the temperature of the liquid in the Kli Sheni is Yatzel Ezbo, so then it should be able to cook. Vi Ein Yatzel Ezbo, Afil Kli Rishon, Nami Ein Mevashel. And if the temperature of the water, even as it's sitting in the Kli Rishon, is not Yatzel Ezbo, so it wouldn't even cook within the Kli Rishon as well. V'yesh Lomar, so Tosus suggests, So Tosfos says over here that the idea behind Kli Rishon is that what is supplemental to the heat is the fact that this particular pot has been sitting on the fire, and so therefore the walls of this pot have been sitting and been not only absorbing the heat, but now is going to generate the heat as well. And that's why, as long as the liquid inside is Yatzel Ezbo, so then this liquid, together with the surrounding walls, are now going to have the ability to cook. However, But when it comes to klisheni afagav the yatzalezbo, even though the liquid itself is yatzalezbo, mutar shein dofnasav chamim. But because the kli itself was not sitting in the fire, so therefore the walls of this particular klisheni are not hot. The holech umitkarer, and now the liquid inside, its temperature is dropping. Even though currently it's yatzalezbo, but it's trending now in a downward direction. It is moving now to under yatzalezbo, and because it's doing so, it no longer has a koach to be mevashel. This is Tosfos' fundamental explanation of why it is that there's no bishul within a kli sheni. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's just finish up a little bit more in the daf. The Gemara now continues after having learned out these three halachas based on the story that occurred with Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Hechi Avid Hachi. The Gemara now wants to know, they were in a bathhouse, and they were speaking halacha in the bathhouse, and the Gemara just simply now wants to know, how is it that one is allowed to speak Torah in the bathhouse? V'amar Rava Barbrachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, we learned back in Brachos and Daf Chav Dalet, V'chomoko Mutal Ha'ar, Chutz Mibes HaMerchot V'Beis HaKiseh, one is allowed to think about Torah in any location, with notable exception, the bathhouse and the bathroom. V'chitim Ebalashon Chol, Amar Lei, and maybe over here, well, they weren't speaking in Hebrew, maybe they were speaking in, let's call it Aramaic, and so therefore there is an allowance to speak Torah as long as you're not speaking in Hebrew, the Gemara says, but that's just simply and patently not so. V'hamar Rabbi, Dvarim Shel Chol, Mutar La'omrim B'Lashon Kodesh, V'shel Kodesh, Asur La'omrim B'Lashon Chol. So Abai teaches us that when you're speaking about mundane matters, you could speak about them in any language. You can even speak about it in Hebrew, and that would not be a problem. And if you're speaking about holy matters, meaning if you're speaking about words of Torah, you cannot speak about it in the bathhouse nor in the bathroom, not in any language, not even in Lashon Chol. So language doesn't matter. If you're speaking Torah, you cannot speak Torah in the bathroom. It doesn't matter what language you speak in. So Afrishim Yisurishan. So the Gemara gives us the basic yisod, the basic premise, and that is that if you're in a position where you're in the bathroom and someone's about to violate an Isser, so in order to prevent him from violating an Isser, on that one is allowed to say over a halacha to stop him from doing an Isser. Teda, the Gemara now says, I'm going to show you that this is in fact so. Da'am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Maisa B'Tamidah, Shor Rabbi Meir. There was an episode once with a student of Rabbi Meir, Shenichnas Hakarv LaBeis HaMerchatz, I followed him into the bathhouse, into the Shvitz, U'bikesh La'adiach Karka, and what he wanted to do is he wanted to clean the floor on Shabbos, Va'amar Lo, Eim Medichin. One is not allowed to clean the floors on Shabbos. Cleaning the floors on Shabbos means that you basically are going to be working over the floors. You may end up smoothing and leveling off the floors. And this would be Mashve Gumos, and that would be Usser on Shabbos. And so therefore he told them, even though they were in the bathhouse, and even though you're not allowed to discuss Torah, but he told them that you cannot do that. Lasoch Lo Karka, what he wanted to do instead is maybe just rub a little bit of oil into the ground in order to produce a better smell. Amarlo ain't sachin. He says that also is going to be prohibited as well. Ama ifrushim isuri shani. Hachanami ifrushim isuri shani. So if you are going to be stopping somebody from doing an isser, so that is something that you can do even though you're in the bathroom or even though you're in the bathhouse. The Gemara, one more comment on this. Amar Ravina shmamina hamavash b'chamitfer b'shabbos chayav. So we see over here that if you are to be cooking using Chametz Feria on Shabbos, one would be Chayav. Now, why do we say that? Because let's consider. They were in Chametz Feria. How do I know that they were in Chametz Feria? A, because I said it earlier, but that's not a good proof. We know they were in Chametz Feria, the Gemara says, because consider now historically what we're talking about. Da'amaisa de Rebbe la'achar gzera haval, because the episode of Rebbe had to have been after the gzera. You remember when we were introduced to the Gzera earlier on this daf, so it was brought to us by the early Amoraim of Rav Yeshua Melevi and Bar Kapara, and they, even though we call them Amoraim, but historically they were basically the same generation as Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. This story that we just read, is with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, so we see that we are post-Gzera. So the only place that they could possibly is within Chametz Feria. V'amrlei tolbekli sheni v'tein. And by virtue of the fact that he says you've got to now move the water from the Chametz Feria into a klisheni, meaning that if you didn't do so, you'd be in violation of Bishul. So what it sounds like is by cooking, even in Chametz Feria, one would be in violation of an Isra Doraisa. Eni, the Gemara says, V'hamar Rav Chista ha-mavasha b'Chametz Feria b'Shabbos Pater. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a tradition set over in Rav Chista, that if somebody cooks in Chametz Feria, it's going to be Pater of al-Asr, meaning you're not allowed to do so, but it's not an Isra Doraisa, it is an Isra Durabanan. And this seemingly now is going to go against what we just concluded, that cooking in Chametz Tver is Nesu D'Raisa. So my chayv nami dekamar makas marja. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe that's what's meant over here. When we say that one is going to be subject to a prohibition by cooking Chametz Tver, and even though we use the word chayv, and even though chayv generally means that it is something which is prohibited, which is Torah prohibited, but maybe over here what we just simply mean is that you are going to be chayiv in that you're not allowed to do it, is subject to makas marjus, but it does not mean that you're over on an iser deraisa. That's possibly what it could mean, and the Gemara has therefore concluded. If we can just simply recap the daf mem, so we start off our discussion today further analyzing the prohibition of bathing on Shabbos with water that was heated up before Shabbos. We went over the positions of Rav, where Rav says that even though you cannot go in into the hot water in your whole body at once, but you could do so one limb at a time. We had two different versions of how Rav said it. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that the only thing you could do on Shabbos with water that was heated before Shabbos is only wash your face, your hands, and your feet, but you cannot do more than that. And the Gemara has brought numerous proofs in terms of supporting Shmuel's viewpoint. The Gemara quoted a brisa that clearly supports Shmuel's viewpoint on this particular halacha. The Gemara went on to discuss in greater detail the history of the gezera of not bathing in hot water on Shabbos, not bathing in hot water on Shabbos, and then we talked about other forms of bathing. We talked about steam baths, we talked about using Chametz Tveria, and again, what the Chachamim wanted to do is the Chachamim wanted to make gezera on top of gezera, not to bathe at all, finally to the point where it got to it got too onerous. It was a gzera shiyata yachola modbo, and they gave one allowance, and that is to use Chametz Tveria. But that was it. After that, everything else was banned. You can't bathe in hot water on Shabbos. Of course, with the hot water, discussing the hot water that was heated before Shabbos. One cannot do so. Not even your entire body, one limb at a time, as we conclude, like Shmuel. And the Gemara says not even a steam bath would be permitted. The only thing that was permitted was Chametz Tveria. As we turn to the Amud Beis, some of the other points that we learned together, we talked about various types of compresses that may be okay. Putting the kettle directly on your stomach is not okay on Shabbos. It's not okay during the week as well. It's a sakana during the week. We talked about other ways of being able to sort of say rinse off, warming yourself up by a fire and then just taking a cold shower immediately afterwards. The Gemara described how that would be okay. The reverse would not be okay, and we discussed why that should be, why the reverse would not be okay. And the Amud Beis centered around the discussion of what exactly are the definitions of cooking as it relates to oil, as it relates to water. And we discussed the principles of Yad Selezbo, the idea that once you get a liquid to the point of Yad Selezbo, that certainly is cooking. When it comes to olive oil, so there was a range of position regarding olive oil. Perhaps there's no bishul whatsoever by olive oils. That is the opinion of some of the Amoraim, at least within the position of the Tanakhama. On the other hand, on the other extreme, there's another opinion regarding olive oil that just once you bring it to the point of it being warm, that would be considered an act of bishul when it comes to olive oil. And then the Amoraim rule that when it comes to olive oil, like water, once you get it over Yad Selezbo, that's cooking. Anything under Yad Selezbo is not going to be considered cooking. We spoke about the principles of Kli Sheni, that Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. We went through over the Tosos on Mem Amud Beis, explaining why it is that Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. It has to do with the fact that you do not have the walls of the pot that are absorbing the heat and therefore generating the heat which you have in a Kli Rishon. That is the difference between a Kli Rishon versus a Kli Sheni. And finally, we went over the story regarding Rebbe in the Chametz Tveria and Rebbe giving instruction over here. How could he be talking while they're in the bathhouse? And the answer is La'afrushi li'isure, to separate somebody from Israel. That would be okay, even in the Shvitz, even in the bathhouse, and even in the bathroom as well. Adkan, we pick it up with the Mem Aleph on the bottom of Mem Beis.